Vision is about seeing the way ahead and the destination of travel. The problem we're in as a nation is that there is no clear vision for the future. Many churches are also like that, no clear vision. But here at Forefront, we do have a long-term vision. It's a vision which talks about becoming and being a caring community. It's a vision that talks about each one of us being equipped and being involved in the ministry of the church. It's a vision that talks about demonstrating, showing to others Jesus Christ. It's a vision that talks about not just being isolated, just Forefront, the best thing since sliced bread. No, we're together with others, working together. What for? For the kingdom of God. Not just here in Chard, but also in the world. And as part of that vision, each year we identify a specific vision emphasis. If you remember, last year we were thinking about being the fragrance of Christ. And this is obviously related to demonstrating Christ. And so it was. Last year we particularly were concerned with being the fragrance of Christ in our families, in our place of work, in our community, in our neighborhood, to show the Lord Jesus Christ. This year, our emphasis is about living as the family of God. And throughout this year, we're going to return to this emphasis. We're going to begin to explore it today. We're going to look at it in detail when we have our visiting speaker, Dennis Hilton, at the Forefront weekend in April. And from time to time during the year, we're going to return to this theme. But what does it mean? It's easy to say, living as the family of God, but what does it mean? Let's begin our exploration. I picked as the basic text for this text, which is part of the longer reading we had just now. So then, you Gentiles are not foreigners or strangers any longer. You are now citizens together with God's people and members of the family of God. In Ephesus, many, perhaps the majority of the believers, came from a pagan background. They were idol worshippers. They had been involved in sorcery. And so there was a tension in the church at Ephesus, because some of the believers came from a Jewish background. And the Jews formerly would have had nothing whatsoever to do with the pagans. They wouldn't visit them. They wouldn't eat with them. They'd probably pass by on the other side of the street. They would have nothing to do with them whatsoever. And this was a problem in the church, where you had people from a Jewish background and people from a Gentile or pagan background. And Paul, in his letter, spends much of the time trying to show that actually this problem has been solved, that they are now one in Christ. And so Paul says this in verse 13 of that letter. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. They were far away in the sense, yes, far away from God, yes, but also far away from one another. They had nothing to do with one another. They didn't talk to one another. But Christ, he is our peace. Christ has brought harmony, has brought shalom to the church. He has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Christ is not a wall builder. He is a wall wrecker. He breaks down barriers and makes us one together. And Paul brings this home, this new unity home, by giving this description. He talks about we're together members of the family of God. Formerly, we were enemies. We were far away. We had nothing to do with one another. Now, we are members of the family of God. We are one family. We belong to God, and we belong to one another. In exactly the same way as Christians today, just as the Christians at Ephesus, we are members of the family of God. Yes, we come from totally different backgrounds, different education, different work experiences, different marriage experiences, and so on, all sorts of different backgrounds. But we all belong to the same family, the family of God. What does this mean? How can we realistically live as the family of God? This morning, I want to introduce you to three aspects of being part of the family of God. And the first one is this, that we have an intimate relationship with God. So often we picture God as being distant, unknowable, all-powerful, creator, the lawgiver, the judge. And he's not the kind of person that perhaps we would want to know. But Jesus provides a new understanding of God. Jesus comes to show the caring intimacy of God. And Jesus described God as our Heavenly Father. And John, in his letter, picks this up when he says these words: "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." I love that word, lavished. We probably don't use it very often, but it means overwhelming generosity, abundance. It's amazing. God is pouring out far beyond we can begin to imagine or desire or expect. He's lavishing his love on us. In what way? That we should become, that we should be called children of God. And John emphasized, that is what we are. It's not just a theory. It's not just a strap line. Yes, we are the children of God. We belong to God. And this same intimacy that John talks about, Paul describes in a slightly different way when he's talking about life in the Spirit. And he says this: "You receive the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." There, that theme again, God's children. But more than that, we are those who can call God Abba, Father. That word Abba comes from the Aramaic. It's a word that Jesus used, and it means dad, daddy. It's about an intimate relationship that a child would say of his father. Not just father, Abba, Father. And it talks and inspires us to worship and fellowship with God. But it's not just a question of worship and intimacy. If we read in the Gospels Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he goes out of his way to describe the benefits of having a Heavenly Father. One of the great benefits is we don't need to worry. If I say to you, don't worry about something, you won't take me seriously. But when Jesus says, you don't need to worry, why? Because we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. We can trust him. And Jesus said the way is open to talk to your Heavenly Father. Whatever it is that's bothering you, whatever it is that you can't do, tell Abba Father, because he cares for you. So in summary, the first thing we discover is that the family of God means that we are children of a loving Heavenly Father. We are special. We are valued, we are loved, we are cared for. We've begun to explore what it means to be members of the family of God. Firstly, it means that we are children of a loving Heavenly Father. But secondly, it means we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That means Wendy is my sister in Christ. Dave is my brother in Christ. Di is my sister in Christ. Steve is my brother in Christ. We are all related. We all belong to the same family. We're no longer alone. We may not have a human family, but we have a divine family. We belong to a family. We have brothers and sisters, not just here in Chard, but all throughout the world. Wherever you go, whatever country you go, there will be people who share the same faith. Last week at Testimony Sunday, several people shared about this theme, the sense of feeling part of the family. They shared how that people have been praying for them. They shared how people have been helping them and encouraging them. They shared how they felt loved and served by other members of the family. And this has been my experience all through the years I've been a Christian. I remember in the 80s when I was in Kuala Lumpur, I received a telephone call from my elder sister. And she rang with very sad news. She said that my father had an inoperable brain tumor and he only had a few weeks to live. And I needed to go home. Yes, I needed to go home. There was one problem. As many families, we had a very, very tight budget. We had enough for the week, for the month, but not more. And so I simply didn't have enough money for the airfare. And I just shared this with our life group. And a few days later, one of the leaders of the church came knocking on the door with an envelope, and he passed it to me. It was the money for the airfare. He was, because of our brothers and sisters in Christ, they saw we had need. A member of the family had need. They shared. Later on, we were away from Kuala Lumpur for 6 months, and our house had been rented out. And when we came back with the whole family, three children, I was personally apprehensive about the state of the house and even how we were going to get from the airport to the house, because with family of five and three children, that's a lot of luggage allowance, and we had a mountain of luggage. When we got to the airport, I was amazed. There was all our life group there, a whole fleet of cars, and they put us all in, and they took us to our house. And that was only the beginning of the miracle. When we got to the house, I was amazed that the front grass had been cut. We went into the house, the whole house had been cleaned. The beds had been made with fresh linen. There was food on the table. Wow! This is what being family means, people who love and care. And this is what we are like here and should be like here as Forefront, family of God. And you know, this is a promise that Jesus himself made. It's a rather challenging promise. And he said this: no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. How can this promise possibly be true? Is this the prosperity gospel, that if you believe in Jesus, you'll become a millionaire, you'll win the lottery, you'll own hundreds of houses? No. It's what happens when you genuinely become part of the family of God and have brothers and sisters. And I know even here in Chard, there will be houses that I can go to that will be open to me. If I was roofless, I know I could go and stay with people. I could go for a meal. I have hundreds of homes that I can visit and go to. And all over the world, there are people I know will open their homes to me. When we were in KL, Kuala Lumpur, we had four students staying with us. Why did we do that? Because they were Christians, they had a need, they couldn't afford the fees at university. So they came and they stayed with us. And so it is. that we have hundreds of homes and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and people who care for us. But where do we start here at Forefront? We start by getting to know one another. Talk to someone new after the service this morning. Begin to get to know someone. Join a life group. Begin to get to know and be known by others. Come to the Forefront weekend, a brilliant place for getting to know people. Come to the front afterwards for prayer ministry. Share your personal needs to be prayed for. Serve together. These are ways that we learn to become brothers and sisters in Christ. To live as the family of God, there are three things. Firstly, it means knowing that we're loved and treasured by our Heavenly Father. We are special in His sight. We are cared for and protected. We respond in worship. Secondly, it means we're not alone. We belong to a family of faith. We have brothers and sisters who care for us, and we respond by knowing in a deeper way and give ourselves to serve and honor one another. But thirdly, we seek to be a growing family. We seek to share this secret with others. During the time of Elisha in the Old Testament, Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom, was besieged by the Syrian army. And after some months, the residents in Samaria were in a desperate state. There simply was no food left, and they were starving to death. Camped outside the gate, because they suffered from leprosy, were four Jews who were also suffering because there was no food. And they too were starving to death. And so one day they made a decision. Better not to starve to death. Let's go and surrender to the enemy. So they made their way that morning to the Syrian camp. And it was a bit strange as they approached the camp because they couldn't hear voices. They couldn't see any activity. There was no one there. And so they went into the first tent, and there was food, and they began to eat. And then there were all sorts of valuables and precious things, and they began to gather them up and store them. And then suddenly, they realized among themselves, and they said these words, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves." I believe this is true for us too. We have a secret. We have the secret of Jesus. We have a secret of belonging to the family of God. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's share it with others. And we can do this through our friends, through the outreach projects at the Forefront Center. We can do it with strangers. Share about Jesus and about the greatness of being part of the family of God, of having brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we do so, let's remember also, I sense that there are some people who used to be with us, who used to worship with us, and who no longer come. Let's be mindful of them. Let's remember they too are part of the family of God. Let's welcome them back. In conclusion then, we need this year to live as a family of God. Deepen our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Enjoy the security of knowing that we're children of God. Grow to know, love, and serve one another, and share our family secret. God bless.